Guess I'll start with that report. Thank you, Pastor, setting me up, saying good preacher. So, anyways, I guess I better produce, Pastor. Yeah, thanks. Well, my wife had surgery on Friday. As you, many of you know, a couple years ago, she had, the sleeve done. So she has half the stomach that that normally all of us do. So she lost a lot of weight, excessive weight, and she's had, one operation to get rid of excessive weight, skin and things like that. And this other operation she had on Friday was for that same thing. There was excessive skin, on her upper part of her torso. And so she had, some of that removed. So she's home. She went to the surgery and she came out, and there was the doctor checked her, and there was some bleeding on her left side that he was really concerned about as he looked at, and took her back in to operate again, and took care of it the second time. I'm getting a lot of noise here. Is that me? So that they took care of that, and but it was just something that was, she had to go back in for about another hour to get operated on, but it seems to be taken care of, and she's healing home, she's resting, and she's doing well. So just keep her in your prayers. She's going to be a few weeks of pain, and she's taking a couple weeks off from work, and she'll be back to work in a couple weeks and back to school as well. She decided to do it during this time because she has a break from school, and she's gone back to school to get her bachelor's degree. So anyway, she's a very busy woman, and she picks her time off, to have surgery, be in pain, and that kind of stuff. So anyways, she's an incredible woman, and that's why I married her. Thank you. Well, I want to say that, as Pastor Joe asked me to speak a while back, and, it's been a couple of weeks I've been thinking about, well, what am I going to preach on? There was one thing that came into my mind, and it was like, three different topics that went through my mind, and spirit, as I ponder what the Lord would want me to speak to you about today. And at first I thought about preaching on discernment, on just the discernment we need to have as believers. And then I thought about sharing maybe, our testimony, the importance of sharing our testimony also with the world. And I thought I was going to do that. And finally, I could not shake something that's kind of been bothering me for a little while, and just kind of, I believe, is a problem in my spirit. I felt it, but then it got really hit on the nose a couple weeks ago. Dale asked me to teach the high school class. And the first lesson for the new quarter was going to be on the Word of God and the authenticity of it and all that. And I was reading my lesson, I'm going through it, and something in my spirit just said, you know what? Are we even reading the Word? All this is great. But if we're not reading the Word, then it's not really going to do much good. So I changed my whole lesson plan to just have a discussion with the teens and say, what's going on? Are we reading the Word? Well, what I found in my spirit was true. And it was a time where I just said, hey, let's just be open. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about, what, and I had them tell me, why is it we don't read the Word? And I started writing these things on the chalkboard, all the different reasons and stuff. And I just wanted to encourage them, and I gave them a challenge to just simply just read the Word. So so that was the thing I could not get away with. Now, one thing for me, as my kids have been growing up, every now and then I'd take them aside and I would say, hey, kids, are you reading your Bible? And there'll be times, yeah, you know, I'm reading my Bible. Other times I say, no, Dad, I'm not reading my Bible. Okay, you know, let's start reading it, you know. And, you know, as parents, we need to do that when our kids are growing up. But I wonder, who are we responsible for as adults? Who questions us to say, are you reading your Bible? You know, are we being accountable to one another as a spouse? Are we being accountable to one another as Christian brothers and sisters to say, are you reading the Bible? You know, have you got God's Word today? And we need to have that accountability. So another thing is that it came to me because a while back, I'm talking like maybe a year or 2 years ago, I also went and I taught the substituted in the middler class, which is the third, fourth, and fifth graders. And I was teaching that class and I brought it up about reading the Bible. Okay, and this is from a fifth grader. I asked the fifth grader, are you reading your Bible? The fifth grader says, oh no, I don't have any time. I'm too busy. A fifth grader, all right, who doesn't have a husband, who doesn't have children, who doesn't have a job, who's working 40 hours a week. Oh yeah, maybe they have some chores. No financial obligations, except maybe to BGMC. And, you know, when they tell you they don't have time to read the Bible, then, my friends, I think it's a clue that it could possibly carry over into us older people as well. I don't know. But one of the most basic fundamental practices of the Christian should be simply reading the Bible. I'm not talking about studying the Bible, actually getting into a deep study of Scripture, but I'm just talking about Bible reading. So I'm not even going to touch Bible study today. Okay? But if we're not reading, then we need to just correct that and start taking just that small step of reading the Word of God. And I know this morning, as you're listening to me, many of you are reading your Bibles. And that's great. So if you're listening to me, maybe this may not apply to you, but you know what? But you can still, what I'd like for you to do is just say, you know, cheer me on, say, yes, Brother Dennis, amen. Say, uh-huh, yeah, preach it. Or say a silent prayer, you know, as I'm speaking, and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Okay, if you'll do that, I appreciate that. Just like if I were to preach this morning on baptism in the Holy Spirit, guess what? A lot of it would not apply to you if you've already been filled and you make that a practice in your life, praying in the Spirit. But it's going to apply to somebody. So this is today, this message is going to apply to somebody. But I believe we have to take personal inventory of our lives. And if we are not getting into reading God's Word, we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Why am I not reading God's Word? Why am I not reading the Bible? No time? Too busy? Okay? Then we have to ask the question, what am I doing with my time? You know, and think about how our day goes. Okay, I sleep, you know, 6 to 8 hours. Pastor Joel was mentioning the other day that we really don't need much more than that. And I've heard through certain people that there are people that sleep 10, 12 hours and sleep till noon. Now, of course, that's not the adults. But, you know, we could always trim back somewhere. You know, get up a little bit earlier. Cut back on sleep. Okay, as adults, we know we work 40 hours a week plus. I was just talking to somebody this morning that said they were working 70 hours a week. You know, that's a lot of hours. Okay, what else takes up our time? Social media, and being on Facebook, Twitter, and all these other things. Just being on the internet, being online, texting, you know, talking to friends, these kind of things that we do. Social time with friends and family, hobbies, all these things take up and consume our time. And if we're too busy, we have to really look at, say, okay, what is it? If I know I should be reading my Bible, and it is important, you might say it's important, then somewhere along the line, we need to trim off somewhere. We need to look and reevaluate the things that we're doing and say, okay, I can cut back here, or I can get up a little bit earlier, or I can do this, or I can do that. See, I'm not here to tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit is going to show you what you can do. Reading books sometimes is also a thing that we do. We take pleasure, we take leisure time in reading. Okay, reading books, novels, inspirational books, how-to books, all these things. You know, there was a book that was recently released that utilized an interdenominational panel to determine 25 books that every Christian should read. Many books that you would expect to be on the list were there, and I think this is an older article I got it from. One of the books, The Confessions of Augustine, The Imitation of Christ, Pilgrim's Progress, The Cost of Discipleship, Mere Christianity, and The Return of the Prodigal. One book that was missing that should have been there, no doubt the panel was told to suggest books other than the obvious, the Bible. The Bible itself. Even so, we should all be reminded the one indispensable book for all Christians is the Bible. And it was left off that list. Before we throw stones at the panel, okay, are we doing the same thing? Filling ourselves with knowledge about everything in the world, but yet not with the eternal truth of God's Word. And we need to be doing that. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Learn of me." One of the ways that we learn of Him is taking God's Word. All these Bibles I have here are Bibles that were taken from my house. Okay, and there's others. I have carry a small pocket one I take to lunch, with a little small Gideon Bible I take in my lunchbox to work. I have one that, I'm sure I have more Bibles than this in my home somewhere. But I found the obvious ones that were in bookshelves and laying around the house. And I bet you that most of you have a pile like this in your home. Okay, this is the family of four. And this is what God's saying right here. He's saying, learn of me. Right here is where we learn of Jesus Christ. In this book right here is where we learn of Him. And I like what He says. He says, "For I am meek and lowly heart." God's not even saying, you know what? I am God, but yet I'm so approachable. You know, have you ever met people that are so high and mighty and they just think they're it, and you know, and they think they're up here, and you think, and they see you as down here. You know people like that? My wife worked in the medical field for a long time. She says that doctors have the God complex, you know. But Jesus, being God, the God of the universe, says, "I am lowly in heart and meek." And I like what He says. He says, "You will find rest for your souls." You know what? We are on a generation that is on the go, constantly going, constantly filling our minds with things, running here and running there, and we run ourselves ragged, ragged to the edge. And if we find ourselves learning of Jesus and spending time with Him, He promises that you're going to find rest to your souls. And that's what we need as believers. We need rest unto our souls. We need that deep down inside of us. When we feel empty and so dry, and we're running so low on energy, and that Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you everything that you need for your soul to be refreshed and be replenished. I will give that to you." So we have to take God's Word to heart, and we need to prioritize and make it a priority in our lives. You know, it's a sad thing when people don't know how to read. Most of us value education. In the United States, we value education. Maybe not as much as other nations. I think we're going down. an education. But we value education, as I believe, as believers. It's a sad thing when we find children that don't know how to read or adults that don't know how to read. My grandmother didn't have the privilege of going to public school for very much in Mexico. She didn't know how to read, but the woman could pray. But it's important to know how to read, especially how to read the Bible and to know what the Bible says for ourselves, and to have knowledge of the Bible and God's Word within our mind and within our heart. I'll tell you a story. There was a new pastor who decided to visit the children's Sunday school. The teacher introduced him and said, "Pastor, this morning we're studying Joshua." "That's wonderful," said the new pastor. "Let's see what you're learning." So he asked him the question, "Who tore down the walls of Jericho?" Little Billy shyly raised his hand and said, "Pastor, I didn't do it." Taken aback, the pastor asked, "Come on now, who tore down the walls of Jericho?" The teacher interrupted it and said, "Pastor, Billy's a good boy. He didn't do it. If he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. You have to believe him." Flustered, the pastor went to the Sunday school director and relayed the story to him. The director, looking worried, explained, "Well, sir, we've had some problems with Billy before, but let me talk to him and see what we can do." Really bothered now by the answers of the teacher and the director, the new pastor approached the deacons and related the whole story, including the responses of the teacher and the director. A white-haired gentleman thoughtfully stroked his chin and said, "Well, Pastor, I move we take the money from the general fund to pay for the walls and leave it at that." We don't want to be Bible illiterates. We want to know what the Bible says. So what we need to do is take a little time. That's all I'm asking. The Lord's not asking a lot. He's saying, small steps. And one of the things that we do is the Bible. What the Bible relates to us as far as taking a little time and spending time with God is taking a walk with Him, taking a little walk with the Lord. There was two men who were on the road in the New Testament. It relates a story in Luke 24. The two men on the road to Emmaus, to the little village of Emmaus, and in verse 5, he said to them, and let me relate to what was going on, is this was just as the time that Jesus was going to be crucified. He had suffered. He went on the cross. He was buried. And it's just right about this time that these two are walking on this road, and they're talking about all the things that had transpired those past few days. And he said to them, as Jesus appeared to them and started walking with them on this road, he says, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. You see, so he started saying, it's all there. If you just have read it, you'd know. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if they were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" You see, what happened is Jesus had not been with them. They were walking alone. And when they were walking alone, they were dejected. They were discouraged and talking about the events that had going on. But when Jesus started walking with them, he started opening up the scriptures to them, saying, "This is what was going to happen. You should know this." And then he started talking with them about the word. But what happened is when he went to have fellowship with them and he broke the bread, it like the light turned on. This is the Master. This is the Lord. This is the one that we thought was dead, but now he's alive. And it says that their hearts, we're not our hearts burning within us. Are our hearts burning within us when we read the Word of God, when we are in God's presence? You see, sometimes what happens is, what will happen is when we get into the Word, the Holy Spirit. This is what I suggest, first of all, when you start getting into the Word, is you take a little time and you say a prayer. And you say, God, speak to me. Lord, speak to my heart and teach me things that I don't know. And this is what Jesus did with these two men. He began to teach them things that they didn't know. The light turned on in their spirit, and it says it burned within them. Sometimes we're missing that burning and that fire in our life, you know, as a Christian, when we know we should be telling other people about Christ and we know we have the answer. But what's happening is we're missing the fire. Part of missing the fire is because we're not even into the Word. I promise you, you get into the Word and you start reading it, that the fire is going to come. But it always comes by doing first things first. We do those things that we know are right. And then we can depend on the Holy Spirit to do what He says He's going to do. Walk in the Word and Jesus will meet you there. He'll open our eyes to spiritual things. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. And Amos 3:3, it says, do two walk together unless they agree to do so. So the Lord wants to walk with us. He wants us to walk in His Word. But we have to agree ourselves that we're going to do that and walk with Him. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalms 119. And if you've never read it, read it, because in it, all it talks about is the Word of God. It talks about the Word. It talks about His statutes. It talks about, you know, His precepts. All these basically are saying God's Word. We just can put it that way in plain, simple sense. It's God's Word. And on it, there's many scriptures. Scriptures that I've taken from a youth, from an adult, that I love. And it starts off this way. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, whose walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Okay? It says blessed. You want to be blessed, or you want to be happy? Basically, that's what it means. Happiness comes by following and walking in God's Word. Happiness comes through keeping His Word and seeking Him with our whole heart. I love the scripture that in verse 9 that I learned as a believer when I was reading it as a teenager. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof. See, I learned it in King James. In the NIV, it says, how can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. You know, as teenagers, not just only as teenagers, but as adults, God's calling us to live a pure life, a holy life. And how do we do it? David, the psalmist says, by living according to your word. That's how we cleanse our way. Psalm 115, Psalm 105, verse 105 and Psalm 119 talks about the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the Lord's going to direct us what path to take. Sometimes it's hard. We have decisions we have to make a lot of times, and we don't know what to do. But God's word promises that it's going to be a light unto our path. And it's going to be a light. It's going to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Okay, so just like if you've ever gone camping, we've been camping a few times, and that night you got to go, you know, to the restroom, the shower area, that is like, you know, like 500 feet away or something like that. And it's dark. And the only way you know how to get there is, it's so dark, you take a flashlight with you. Take a flashlight with you so you can see where you're going and where the path is at. Because it can get kind of scary. So we would take these flashlights with us. And it's the same thing with God's Word. You know, trying to navigate through life and all the paths that there are and all the voices that are calling us out to us, man, when we have God's Word, it shows us where to walk. It shows us clearly the path we need to take. That's what His word is to us. It's that light. And there's an article that Americans, that's called Americans Love the Bible, but Don't Read It Much. It says more than half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on culture. They see it in a moral decline. Yet only 1 in 5 Americans read the Bible on a daily basis, on a regular basis. More than 3/4 of Americans think that the nation's morality is headed downhill, according to a new survey from the American Bible Society. The survey shows the Bible is still firmly rooted in American soil. 88% of the respondents said they own a Bible. Yeah, sometimes many. 80% think the Bible is sacred. 61% wish they read the Bible more. And the average household has 4.4 Bibles. But Doug Bergsaw, the president of the American Bible Society, said he sees a reason for why the Bible isn't connecting with people. And this is what he says. I see the problem as analogous to obesity in America. We have an awful lot of people who realize they're overweight, but they don't follow a diet. Bergsaw said, people realize the Bible has values that can help us in our spiritual health, but they just don't read it. Basically, what he's saying is, we know, is that my clue that I'm supposed to end here pretty soon? Okay, I'm wrapping up. So basically, I think what he's saying here is just like, we know we have a problem, you know. We're just not willing to discipline ourselves to do it. You know, it's one thing, we have to know that there is a problem, and then we have to do something about it. If we don't ever have a plan, then it doesn't ever get done. You know that, right? It goes with anything in life. So, basically, you say there's got to be a plan. There's got to be something that we're going to say that we're going to do. So, we got to muster up the energy. It takes energy to discipline ourselves. And this is what I want to talk about here as I close. I want to talk about discipline. It takes discipline. Just as I know some of you are, you know, if you say, well, I'm gonna ride the bike for 10 miles. Well, you know, just start with a couple miles, you know, start somewhere, right? And you work your way up as you enjoy it, and you work yourself up. You know, so that's the same way it is with us. We have to work, we have to just have a plan, say, I'm going to discipline myself to do it. Okay. There was an elderly man who was laying in his dying bed. Death's agony was suddenly pushed aside when he smelled the aroma of his favorite homemade cookie, chocolate chip cookies, wafting up the stairs. Gathering his remaining strength, he lifted himself from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bed and with intense concentration supported himself down the stairs, gripping the rail with both hands. In labored breath, he leaned against the doorframe, gazing wide open into the kitchen. There, spread on the table, were a few hundred cookies. It was heaven. Or was it one final act of heroic love from his wife, his devoted wife, seeing to it that he left this world a happy man? Mustering one great final effort, he threw himself toward the table, landing on in his knees in a rumpled posture with one hand on the edge of the table. The aged and withered hand quiverly made its way to the cookie near the edge of the table, feeling the warmth of the soft dough actually made the pain of his bones subside for just a moment. His parched lips parted. The wondrous taste of the cookie was already in his mouth, seemingly bringing him back to life. All at once, he felt a sting on his hand. As he looked up, he saw his wife holding the spatula she had used to mix the dough, saying, "Stay out of these! These are for your funeral." Okay, you get the idea, right? You will find the energy to do the things that are important to you, even if it's to your last dying breath. We find the energy. So what do? We have to really think this out. We can't just let it go and say, okay, I'm not reading the Bible, okay, and then I'm going to do something. I'm going to read the Bible one day. No. Let's look at some practical tips. Okay? Set some goals. First of all, you got to make up your mind that you're going to read the Bible. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the Bible. Encourage yourself and say you're going to do it. If you have to, write it down. Write it somewhere on your dresser. Write it somewhere in your mirror, somewhere that you're going to see and say, read the Bible today. Then make an appointment with God. Write it down and say when you're going to meet with God. We have to look at that as an appointment with God. God is waiting for us to spend time in His presence. You know, we make appointments for doctors. We make appointments to, we have dates with our wives. We have, you know, we got to set something apart. Even me and my wife, we have to say, okay, we're going to have a date night. Else it just doesn't happen. So we have to mark it down. Get alone. Here's another tip. Get alone and away from the things that distract you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways you can read your Bible, right? You can use the old hard copy. You can use your tablet. You can use your phone. You have apps on it. You can do that. But we have to get away from things that are going to distract us. Get alone with God. If there's too much stuff happening in the house, get outside. Take a walk. You can be reading your Bible while you walk if you have an app. Fight the urge to be interrupted when you're reading your Bible. I guarantee you, once you've made the goal to say, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to sit down at this time, I'm going to do it, and just going to get alone, just you and God, guess what? I guarantee you there's going to be interruptions that are going to come. Your mind is going to get flooded with all the things you need to do. Amen? Amen. You know, some of those things are important. They are not saying they're not important. But this is what you do. You get a notebook. You get your Bible. You get a notebook and you get a pencil or a pen and you put it aside right here. When that thought comes, it's important. All you do is you don't do anything about it. All you do is you write it down and go back to reading your Bible. You see? You're being determined. Nothing's going to stop you. Now, make some small attainable goals. If you're not used to reading the Bible, say, I'm going to read one chapter. And what I suggest is that you start in the New Testament. I suggest you start in the New Testament. Start with the Gospels and start there, okay, in reading. If you have a Bible that still has the old kind of red letters, you know, Jesus' words, pay close attention to those words. Okay, be wise. Okay, start somewhere where you're going to be interested. I know I've been sometimes in the Old Testament and you're reading, it's like, oh, what are all these names, generations, or what does this mean? And, you know, you don't see the application to yourself on it. And that way, sometimes it can be boring. I'm being honest. It can be boring. Okay? So read in the New Testament. And watch out because you can't get addicted. Okay? You can get addicted. But it's okay to be addicted to the Bible. Amen? It's all right. Okay, as long as it doesn't keep you from going to work and you lose your job. I come in and go to work. I was home reading my Bible. You know, no. Okay, balance. All right? So, Nike had that little slogan, is just do it. That's all we got to do is just do it. I'm going to ask the worship team, they'll come back up here and join me. And if they can begin to play that song, The Holy Spirit, that you were singing earlier, that'd be great. We have to just do it. Read the Word. Get into it. Start it. Start today. You know, we can, you know, in 7 minutes, maybe 10, you know that you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year? You know, when we look at it and we think about all 66 books and it looks like it's such a book, it just seems like forever. But when it's cut down in like little portions, it's attainable when you set that goal. Just small. Just start doing it. I know I've been sharing about the Bible today, but this morning? Do you know the God of the Bible? Okay, I'm going to ask you if you can stand with me. Do you know the God of the Bible? Because it doesn't mean anything. We read the Bible, but yet we don't know the author. This morning, you would say, you know what? I don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, He loves you. He died for you on the cross. And this is God's love letter to us right here. The Word of God tells us how much He loves us and cares for us. Romans 5:8 said, God commendeth, demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's how much He loves us. And I'm here to tell you that. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as personal Savior, you can do that. Okay? If you'd like to do that, I'm going to just open up this altar. You can come up, speak with me, and we can introduce you to the Lord. Very simple. He's here waiting for that. If this message is applied to you, you're a believer and you said, you know what? I haven't been reading the Bible. I haven't been faithful. You know what? One thing I believe is, I'm not here to beat you down, nor is God, nor the Holy Spirit here to beat us down. You know what He's saying? He's saying, forget the past. Forget the past. He's saying, start new today. Start new. Don't think about what you haven't been doing anymore. Think about what you're going to do from this day forward. And then would like to open these altars to anybody who would have a prayer need this morning at all. To come and just want to seek the Lord, spend some time with the Lord. If you can do that, just come forward and spend some time with the Lord. All right? And meet with the Lord.